Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And I've got my engineer over here, Brandon Brim.
Yes.
He's my grandson. He's my travel partner, ministry partner, and 22 years old. We want to stay young, so I associate with the young. I also associate with the older ones. And one of the older ones who is my mentor and dear, dear friend was Mary Jenkins. We called her Mama Jenkins. If you want to see her, you can go online to billybrim.org and you can see the archives of our recent Autumn Assembly. I talked to her on the Wednesday night service, which would have been October 26th, I believe it was, and then the Saturday morning service. You'll get to see her and watch her ministering and laying hands on people. It was actually her last, she didn't stand up at the microphone. Now, Mama Jenkins could walk, but she her knees were like bone on bone and gave her a lot of pain, so she went in a wheelchair. So you'll see her there in a wheelchair. Now, she left when she left Branson, the Autumn Assembly. She drove herself all the way to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And there she attended a wedding, and then she went from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, on to her home in Maryland. And in Maryland, then on Thanksgiving morning, she departed to be with the Lord. She ate some breakfast. She'd been in the hospital, had a blood clot removed from her arm, and she was recovering. All was well, and she would have been 103 February. So she's almost 103. And she smiled. She was laughing and talking and finished her breakfast. Mama loved to eat. And then she loved to cook. Oh, that good soul food cooking. But she went home. She closed her eyes and went home. Just moved from earth to heaven. Now, Mama had come into our lives, into my life years ago, but she went where God sent her. The Lord would say to her, do this, do that. Go get on the Greyhound bus number such and such. Go to this. And she'd go all the way across the country. Go to the hospital. Go up to this room. There she found a woman crying, a dying young woman of a kidney. And Mama laid hands on her, and she got brand new kidneys. Mama did not know the woman. But things like that would happen in her life. Now, when she came into our lives, she had seen a vision of my grandson, Jared. Jared's now how old?
He's 26 years old.
And he's your brother?
Yes.
And how old was he when Mama came there to your house and he was in trouble?
I would say probably around 19 or 20 years old.
I think it's been a little bit, 18. I think it's 18, more like 18. Yeah, because it's been at least 10 years. And Jared was, he'd been brought up in the things of God, but he's with the wrong company. And he was getting off and he was getting into some bad things. Now he gives his testimony because he's been working even as an associate pastor. Finished Bible school and worked as an associate pastor. And Jared, when he gives his testimony, he calls about the bad Jared and the good Jared. But what did Mama tell you she had seen in the spirit when God sent her to our family and sent her down there to you, especially your family?
She told me that she saw Jared in the mouth of like a dog, and she knew it was like the enemy or the devil, and it was thrashing it back and throwing him back and forth. And
just thrashing its head back and forth. And had Jared in the mouth.
Yes.
So she came down, started ministering to Jared, and did you see a change?
Oh, yes, I did.
What'd you see?
I just saw a complete turnaround from, and then from doing everything else. He just dropped everything like that second and just started seeking God. And I could tell how his appearance changed, his attitude. It was literally like a new person.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mama said that she and her husband had pastored years ago, but the Lord put her on what she called a field ministry to minister to his sheeps. She said, some of his sheeps have gotten dirty and I'll have to go and help him clean up the sheeps. So
I remember too when she first came and she saw Jared and we started talking, and I think it was the next day Jared was trying to, you know, always just not see her, kind of get out of the way and leave. And she grabbed him and told him to sit on her lap.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he sat on her lap and she grabbed him and she was hugging him.
Oh my. Oh my.
Yeah.
Now this is the woman who had on her because these things come on you. I wrote my letter. If you want to get that letter, I sat down and wrote about the laying on of hands. thinking about her and her mentoring. And then I thought about my own ordination service under Brother Hagin. And I really shared some personal things about those things. I didn't post that letter online, but I've just written it. If you'd like to get it, you just go to billybrim.org, or you call us at 1-800-972-3447, or you write us at Post Office Box 40, Branson, and give us permission to send you emails. And then say, I want the copy of her. I want Billy's recent email and email letter. And we'll send that to you about this wonderful preciousness of laying on of hands and what it means. And you can see Mama Jenkins at billybrim.org and go onto the archives of our Autumn Assembly. And you can watch her there. Now, I want to talk to you today about some of the ways in this week of going home. I sat down the other day and I was thinking about Mama going home, and I thought about some things that the Bible has to say because of the way she went. She did what Brother Hagin did. Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, ate a breakfast. He always said the best way to go home is to eat a good breakfast and then leave. Well, that's what he did. He called Jerry Horton, told her to ask him, her to please fix him a breakfast, and she did that. And he finished it, and he sat down on the couch, I think, with his wife Aretha, and finished the strawberries. And then his head just dropped over, and he went to heaven. I thought about others, and I'll talk to you about them later. Mama went home on Thanksgiving morning that way, and the way she went home reminded me of one of the ways the Jews recognize as the best way to go, by the divine kiss. I want to look into the Bible and show you about that, and you can turn in your Bible to the 20th chapter of Numbers. Now, I'm going to be reading you both out of my King James Bible, but I'm also going to be reading you out of a Hebrew translation, because there's some things that we don't quite get when we take from Hebrew into English. There's nuances and things I want to point out to you. So we're going to look at the deaths of Miriam and Aaron and Moses, the three that God used from the same family. God loves to use families. God used this family to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now we're coming to the death of Miriam, 20th chapter of Numbers. And I'm reading to you from the Hebrew into English translation, the Art Scrolls, Humash. The children of Israel, the whole assembly, arrived at the wilderness of Zin in the first month. That would have been Nisan, we would say April, and the people settled in Kadesh. Miriam died there and was buried there. Now they also have, in addition to having the word of God, they have the oral that they transmit orally. So from the oral tradition that has been given to us, she died on the 10th of Nisan, which is the certain day that they did with the lamb. You can read what they did with the lamb in Exodus 12 on the 10th day before Passover. There was now look here how it says this. Right in one sentence, you might say, Miriam died there and was buried there. There was no water for the assembly, and they gathered against Moses and Aaron. Now, the people quarreled with Moses and spoke up, saying, if only we had perished as our brethren perished before us. Why have you brought the congregation of Hashem to this wilderness to die there? Then Moses, verse 6, and Aaron went from the presence of the congregation to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. The glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the staff and gather together the assembly, you and Aaron your brother, and speak to the rock before their eyes, that it shall give its waters. You shall bring forth for them water from the rock, and give drink to the assembly and to their animals. Moses took the staff from before the Lord as he had commanded him. Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation before the rock, and he said to them, listen now, O rebels, shall we bring forth water for you from this rock? Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock with his staff twice. Abundant water came forth, and the assembly and their animals drank. The Lord said to Moses and to Aaron, "Because you did not believe in me to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you will not bring this congregation to the land that I have given them. They are the waters of strife where the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was sanctified through them." Now, some things here. For one thing, this rock, in the Hebrew, it has a definite article in front of it. It says the rock. When you say the something in Hebrew, it's very important. So the article here indicates this was a known rock. The ancient sages teach that God had created a rock that he used often as a source of miraculous waters. This was the rock that the angel revealed to Hagar. And from this rock, Moses was commanded to draw water nearly 40 years later. That same rock accompanied the people throughout their wanderings as long as Miriam was alive. After her death, it ceased to yield water. Now, this was called Miriam's rock, Miriam's spring, Miriam's well. In the New Testament, there's a very interesting passage, 1 Corinthians 10:1. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all drink the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Or you could say the Anointed One. So the Lord told Moses to speak to the rock, and it would bring forth water. Many people have different ideas as to why Moses did not get to go into the Promised Land. But when I read what Rabbi Riskin wrote, I knew that's right. Rabbi Riskin said the Lord wanted to demonstrate to the people the power of the spoken word. Just before they went into the land, he wanted to demonstrate to them what they could do with the spoken word to conquer and possess that land. Moses did not demonstrate that power. He struck the rock. And therefore, there was no one with the merit of Moses to demonstrate to them the power of the spoken word. I thought to myself, it really took it down till when Jesus came in Mark chapter 11, and he said, "You shall have whatsoever you say." He demonstrated it with a fig tree. God wanted to demonstrate it at that rock, but Moses failed to do so. And so Moses was not allowed to go into the Promised Land. Now tomorrow we're going to look at the deaths of Aaron and Moses and see something wonderful that they tell us. This is Billy Brim in Branson, Missouri. We would appreciate it if you could send us an offering for our radio broadcast. You can just send it to Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615, or go at billybrim.org and press donations. This is Billy Brim, so glad to be able to come to you today by radio.